The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen
Colbert. Pleasant. Isn't that pleasant? Everybody, please have a seat, ladies and gentlemen, in here, out there, all around the world. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And how nice. How nice. I'm glad y'all seem to be in a good mood. It has been a tense couple years, you know? What with the pandemic, the near fall of democracy, and me recently finding out that Scooby-Doo wasn't the dog who said, "Ruh-roh." It's Astro. Look it up. What else don't I know? Was I adopted? And the stresses of life don't look like they're easing anytime soon. Exhibit A, Vladimir Putin has stationed tens of thousands of Russian troops along the Ukrainian border, and Ukraine is a democratic ally whose security America has promised to defend. Ruh-roh. Now, the world may be standing at the precipice of war between two nuclear-armed powers. To de-escalate tension, today, Biden and Putin talked about Ukraine in a video call. It makes sense. The only way to resolve a delicate situation that requires crystal-clear communication is two old men on a Zoom. We don't know the results of the call yet. We do not know the results of this call yet. But Biden made it clear that if Russia invades, the U.S. and our allies would respond with strong economic and other measures. I know we're trying to avoid a hot war here, but those are some pretty vague threats. Son, if you throw a party when your mother and I are out of town, we will respond with strong reactions and emotions, TBD. It's unclear, gotta be firm, it's unclear what happens next now, but at the end of the call, the two presidents tasked their teams to follow up. Very good. We will have our people follow your people. I mean, follow up. Perhaps they talk about it over a nice bowl of poison. I mean, soup. And we all know best place to enjoy soup is near a window. Enjoy the view and maybe put on these poison underpants. I mean, soup underpants. Now, if you're worried these rising tensions with Russia will lead to World War III with Russia, don't be ridiculous. It's going to be World War III with China. We got a preview yesterday. You see, the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics ended just 4 months ago. So naturally, the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics will start in a little under 2 months. Because thanks to COVID, time doesn't exist anymore. The next 4 Super Bowls will be held concurrently, and Tom Brady has won them all. So, doesn't matter. So, winter games, that's always fun. America cleans up at those medals, except not all Americans will be making this trip to China, because the Biden administration announced that due to China's human rights atrocities against the Uyghurs, the U.S. will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the 2022 Winter Olympic Games. But now who's going to compete in the 4-man ambassador bobsled? But here's the thing, these human rights abuses are unconscionable, and the president is doing the right thing by drawing a line. And with that in mind, I would like to announce tonight that CBS will be the official network of not watching the Olympic Games. We are not.
Okay.
You gotta take a stand.
Uh-huh.
CBS will not be broadcasting any of the action, and that is solely because we care about human rights. And not because we were outbid by another network every year for the last 20 years. So forget the Olympics. The only marathon you need to worry about is back-to-back reruns of Blue Bloods. Though I hear Tom Selleck's mustache can be used as one of those curling brushes. At first, the Chinese responded in state-owned media, quote, "To be honest, the Chinese are relieved to hear the news because the fewer U.S. officials come, the fewer viruses we brought in." Hey, hey, China, not cool. No one knows exactly how the virus emerged, but we know it didn't start here. The only wet market we have in America is that subway station with the lady selling churros under the mystery drip. Knock it off. So, tensions between the U.S. and China and Russia are rising, but it's not all gloom and doom. Some of it's gloom and data. Because in anticipation of global climate catastrophes, Earth is getting a black box to record events that lead to the downfall of civilization. Well, why don't they make the whole planet out of the black box, am I right? We're doomed. The goal of this black box is to use storage drives to provide a record for future civilizations to understand what caused our demise. By recording every step we take toward climate catastrophe. And we have a statement from the designer of the black box.
Black box.
He was actually singing inside the black box, apparently. And I have a bone to pick. This is assuming all future generations will know how to access our old technology. I can't find the dongle for my digital camera from 2008. That trip to Antigua? God. Designers say the black box will be a monolith about the size of a city bus, made of 3-inch thick steel and placed in an open field in Australia. Really? Australia? You know about Australia, right? Oh, here's the black box. Crikey, it looks like it's covered in a mist of spiders. Now it's being carried off by millions of cannibal crabs. Better head indoors, it's starting to rain snakes. Don't worry, that happens every hour during rainy snake season. Now, if you excuse me, I have to fight this wallaby. Put him up, Pouchy! Now, put him up! The project is a collaboration between a marketing communications company called Clemminger BBDO and the University of Tasmania. The school is very excited to be hosting this monolith, as explained in this statement from the dean of the University of Tasmania. What are you going to do? He's got tenure. So, turns out the inside of the black box is basically a huge hard drive that will gather climate change data like atmospheric carbon dioxide levels and average temperatures and use an algorithm to scour the web for tweets and news. News, okay, I understand that. But I don't know if tweets are the best record of humanity. Well, it looks like past humans ignored global warming until it was too late, never invested in green energy, and most of them killed themselves doing something called the Milk Crate Challenge. Unfortunately, developers estimate that the data storage will run out in 30 to 50 years. Not the most encouraging sign. That's like going in for surgery and having your doctor say, do we validate parking? I wouldn't worry about that. Just leave the keys with the nurse. Just leave the keys with the nurse. Speaking of catastrophes, there's news about California representative and goldfish watching you have sex. Devin Nunes. Yesterday, Nunes announced he's leaving Congress by the end of the year. But they're so happy for him. They're happy for him, you know? That's good. You pass. He won't be out of a job thanks to former President Dolt 45. Because Nunes has been named the CEO of the former president's new media company, despite having no apparent prior experience working in the tech industry or as an executive. Instead, Nunes is a former dairy farmer. Well, then he's the perfect guy to make money off the old president because he has experience milking things with leathery skin. Nunes. Nunes does have one bit of history with social media. He once sued Twitter over an account purporting to be Nunes's cow. It's a true story. So what happened was somebody started a Twitter feed called Devin Nunes's cow. And this cow said negative things about Devin Nunes. Like he's a bad farmer and stuff like that. So Nunes sued Twitter for $250 million for defamation. The case was, of course, dismissed, and we still don't know who is behind the cow Twitter account. All we know is that it's someone smarter than Devin Nunes. So probably a cow. Now, usually... when the former president appoints someone who is grossly incompetent to an important position, he has a good reason. They're related to him. That means the only reason Nunes got this gig is because Jared, Don Jr., and Eric all turned it down. Sorry, Dad, no can do. That job is beneath me, but I'd still like to be considered for the role of chief executive hug receiver. Bring it in. Bring it in, Dad. Let the healing begin. Even if you didn't catch it, this pandemic has been bad for your health because a new study has found that from 2019 to 2020, average blood pressure readings increased. Well, yeah. For some reason, we were all a little on edge last year. In fact, here's some footage of my most recent blood pressure test. One of the researchers explained, we observed that people weren't exercising as much during the pandemic, weren't getting regular care, were drinking more, and sleeping less. Well, now you don't have to choose between sleeping and drinking, thanks to the new product, Stephen Colbert's Sleepy Time Drink Mask, to unconsciousness and beyond. This is serious. This is serious. This is serious because over time, high blood pressure can damage the heart, the brain, and sexual function can also be affected. I believe that's the plot of The Wizard of Oz. The Tin Man wants a heart, the Scarecrow wants a brain, and the Cowardly Lion wants an erection. Get it up, get it up. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Meanwhile.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
John, tonight, I don't know if you watched the Sex and the City. Do you remember the Sex and the City, John? Sex and the City, here in the, this is the city where the sex was.
That's right, New York City.
Well, they're bringing back the Sex and the City. It's called and Just Like That. It's the new Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And the ladies are back, and some of the gentlemen, I assume, but the ladies are back, and I can't wait to find out who wins this time, the Sex or the City. Because it was a draw last time.
Oh, it was a draw.
It was a draw. They just said, let's just call a truce at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, the sex didn't win.
No.
Okay.
But neither did the city.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, do you know which of the Sex and the City girls you would be? Which of the ladies you would be? You ever taken the test? You ever taken
the test? No, I haven't taken the test. Well, who do you think I
would be? I'm Charlotte. 100% I'm a Charlotte. He's a Charlotte? Louis says you're a Charlotte? We'll find out. We'll find out. Because Kristen Davis is Charlotte. She'll be out here in a moment. We'll find out. We'll take the test.
Yes.
Will we?
Do it.
We will not be taking the test. Not be taking the test. You know, folks, I spend most of my time right over there, digging down into the news pit and mining for you the day's clearest story diamonds, cleaving them into the most topical cuts, faceting them, polishing them to a high finish, then setting them all in a delicate 24-karat gold chain to create the bespoke Cartier necklace. That is my nightly monologue. But sometimes, folks, I just huff a little too much epoxy and stumble down to an abandoned pier where I find a piece of disused fishing line and string it with old bottle caps, rusty padlocks, and baby teeth. Then rip the seat belt out of a burned-out police car to make a clasp and parade naked through a cheat cheese wearing the psycho choker of news that is my segment.
Meanwhile...
Oh, man, that's what cures what ails you right there. Bring it home, baby. Oh. Meanwhile, across the pond, a man secretly built the UK's biggest model train set and hid it from his girlfriend. Of course, it was easy to hide it from her because she actually goes to school in Canada and isn't on social media, and that's why you can't meet her. The secret train set cost the man £250,000, and I gotta say, that so-called British model train enthusiast sure looks an awful lot like Andy Richter. What the? Of course, the English Andy Richter sits on the left side of Conan. Meanwhile, just in time for the holidays, London's National History Museum dressed their Tyrannosaurus Rex in a gigantic Christmas sweater. That is not going to be easy for him to take off. Meanwhile, a Maryland resident burned down their home in an attempt to get rid of snakes. It took 75 firefighters to put out the blaze, and after all that, one snake survived. Well done! So instead of lots of regular snakes, the homeowner now has one super strong fireproof snake who's out to avenge his family. Meanwhile, airline passengers were stunned when a woman was caught breastfeeding her hairless cat on a Delta flight. I know. Shocking that this didn't happen on Spirit Airlines. The flight attendant caught the woman in action and sent the ground crew an alert that read, "Passenger in 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carrier when flight attendant requested." Plus, the captain had just turned on the "No breastfeeding your cat" sign. Meanwhile, Art Basel took place this past weekend in Miami, and a big attraction was a rubber ducky-studded toilet, which cost $300, but which the artist says doesn't function. Oh, it functions. Because when you buy it, it immediately flushes $300 down the toilet. Meanwhile, in Belgium, the death metal band Omicron wants you to know it has nothing to do with the virus. This is the most unlucky band name since the 1920s jazz stylings of Gonorrhea Sam and the Three Herpes.
Coming up, Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, you know my first guest tonight is Charlotte Miranda from Sex and the City. They're now back for the new series, and just like that, please welcome to the Late Show Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon.
I
I got quite a little lipstick smack on the side there. I feel like I'm in the cast now.
You are. You got charlotted.
I did. Well, you know, you might have heard me talking before. I've always thought that I was a Charlotte, and we'll get to that in a moment. We'll go to the data points that make one a Charlotte in just a moment. No offense. Mirandas are lovely.
You were right.
Before we get started, I want to talk about the new series. But first, Cynthia, the last time you were here, you were running for governor of the state of New York.
I was.
Your opponent, Andrew Cuomo. Your opponent in the primaries, Andrew Cuomo, has taken quite a fall from grace. Would you like to take this moment to give a hearty, I told you so, to anyone?
No, I think not, because
don't
I
be
think
gracious.
No, there's. You know, I will say though that when I came on your show during the run, it was the first show that I had done. I was very nervous and all that stuff, and you were so kind and treated me with so much respect and so much, you know, gave me so much legitimacy to be here and gave me a platform, and I just really, really loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so glad. That wasn't my intention.
And I will say, you know, you asked me a question about was it hard to run with a name like Nixon, you know, in politics?
Exactly,
You know, not a great history there. Yeah. And I said at the time that I would rather be the good Nixon than the bad Cuomo. Mm.
Ooh.
And afterward, a T-shirt shop in Chicago that I'm very devoted to, named the T-shirt Deli, they sent me a sweatshirt that said, "The Good Nixon," and I wear it all the time, and I think of you.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Okay, let's get down to the heat.
Let's do it.
Sex and the City ran from 98 to 2004, then two movies in 2008 and 2010. Gotta get my stats right. It's been over a decade since y'all have played these characters. What it is like for you is what I'm curious, to slip back into the heels of these characters after all this time.
I felt like it was so easy because, to me, we've seen each other this whole time. And, of course, when we see each other in life, it's different than wearing the heels and the shoes and everything. But, you know, I was just thrilled to be back. I was just like, it's a miracle. We're in a warm hug together. It's like the best thing ever, though it was also terrifying.
What do you mean?
Well, you know.
A lot of expectations.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sure,
little bit.
A lot of
scrutinizing.
Yeah. A lot of scrutinizing.
Yeah. Well, here you are in, so you guys are actual friends, like off-camera friends.
Actual friends,
okay.
Yes.
Or very good actors. here's the little preview.
It's really hard to look at.
Premiere in 1998.
A lifetime.
There you go. That is.
Can you guys
a real 1998 look, man.
We thought we were it, man.
You were it.
Right?
Those are some styles that place you in time.
For real. Look at the hair.
Okay.
But look at Kristen, she's so sweetly just pretending she doesn't see my hair. It's really kind.
And literally, that was the last time I danced in public, and it was with Cynthia.
Why do you not dance in public?
Because I don't want anyone to see that now.
You're not a dancer?
No.
Not even like ballroom dancing or anything like that? You're from South Carolina.
Charlotte can dance.
You cannot.
No.
So when you act like Charlotte, you can dance.
There's a lot of lessons involved, okay?
Okay,
you know, instruction and lessons and practice.
I dig it. Okay.
Yes.
So how have these young ladies changed? How have Charlotte and Miranda changed in 23 years?
I mean, that's hard to even enumerate.
Well, you know, it's really funny because when the original show started, everybody would always ask us, how are you like your character, right? And I would say that Miranda and I both, you know, feel kind of confident about our brains. But other than that, there's really no similarity. You know, Miranda and I are different in every way. Well, but I would say, you know, look, she was, you know, not domestic at all. She was not really interested in becoming a mom.
True, she was
like so focused on her. And I'm very focused on my career too, but I'm a very domestic person. And
she
not
is. She's an excellent cook.
Not a big dater, do you know? But what was really interesting to me with the end of 6 years in the show, as we were doing all these exit interviews with, you know, people who would, again, ask us this question, I found myself saying Miranda and I are alike in every single way. Because I feel like Of course, when you're on a show for a long time, they write toward you. And Miranda got more and more, you know, not just domestic, but she sort of found her, you know, her inner, her
intimacy.
And,
Kristen, how is Charlotte like you? How did you become?
Well, I used to also have a very specific list of pros and cons of similarities and dissimilarities. And then they did start to weave. And I think a lot of that is Michael Patrick King, our kind of head writer. We've had numerous different amazing writers. Mm. And he calls it bespoke writing.
So what does he call it? Oh, bespoke.
Bespoke, yes.
Oh, tailored. So tailored. Tailored for the wearer.
Yes, to your fortes, mm-hmm. you know, to your strengths.
When the show was first on, like, people would come up to Sarah and tell her their sex stories because she was sex
Definitely.
On the show.
Sure, sure, sure. Definitely.
And I think they would bend your ear a lot. And Definitely. I think people would approach me less because I scared them, frankly.
It's so true. It's so true. It's so true.
More with Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon after this.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, both of you have had many romantic interests over the course of the series. Cynthia, I understand you have a favorite one, a story that you
would
like to share.
Well, I have the one that got away.
Oh. Okay.
Really?
I've got a hint about what this is, and I have a hint for you, too.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, there was an episode where the famous phrase, you know, he's just not that into you, was coined, where Miranda learns that, you know, if guys don't seem that interested and they're, you know, you're just not that into you, just give up. And so Miranda dated a guy who then was trying to leave quickly after the date, and she kept saying, it's fine, you're not that into me, I understand. And he finally had to blurt out, I have diarrhea and I have to leave. And we were all sitting around on the set the other day, and somehow one of the writers, who was a writer on the old show, said that actually Stephen Colbert was almost cast in that part. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the guy who did it was great. Nothing against him. He was fantastic. But when
they wrote that with me in mind?
I wouldn't go that far, but I do believe that you were in some way considered for the role, and they had
you were the dream.
I can add to your story by saying the opening line of that scene is, that was some hot biryani. And I know that because I auditioned for that part.
Aww.
And didn't get it. Evidently,
Our
I did not
loss.
Have the acting chops to act like I had diarrhea.
I
did not
good.
Play a convincing
that's probably
sick
good,
person.
Steven. That's probably
I don't know
good.
If it is, but I really, to this day, if I go to an Indian restaurant and if I see they have it on the menu, I go, that's some spicy biryani.
Brilliant.
Because I never forget.
Brilliant.
It stayed
well,
with me.
Even.
Well,
okay.
Our loss.
Now, I understand that you and I have a cameo together in the new series.
We do.
Is this true? I got this picture. I'm honored if this is true. What is going on in this photograph?
Well,
I love the pose, too, Kristen.
Thank you. I was really trying to look cool. That's Charlotte trying to look cool with her hot date.
Sure.
At the school gala where you, Stephen Colbert, are an auction item for my children, my pretend
well, tickets
school.
To your show. Perhaps
yes.
not exactly
that
you.
Me. That me. But it's tickets. It's tickets to the show for your school. For your school.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
That is believable.
It is right.
That is believable.
And we
Do
had some
win?
Good fun
Do
with
you
the
win?
With the
you with the cutout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You
we were
a
there
very
for hours.
Couple. Very handsome.
Thank
couple.
You. Thank you so much.
He should have auditioned. Maybe he's a better actor than I am.
Maybe it's the tux.
We have to take another break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon, everybody.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but... Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Brave the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis. Now, you guys have been shooting all around the city.
For a while.
Starting when?
In July
7th or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a shot of you guys. This is you guys,
yes.
Right? This
yes.
is
that
shooting on the set of Just Love.
This is
not just you guys at lunch. This is you guys actually.
That's true.
Shooting.
We're in see dresses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's how you know okay. that we're working.
There is so much secrecy mm-hmm. around this. We did get a screener. We don't even have a clip to show the audience right now.
Sorry.
Do you worry about spoilers?
It was very highly intense.
Yes, we worry constantly. Yes.
Okay. I have an important question here. Is that there are rumors that you guys actually shot scenes around New York that are fake scenes to throw people off the scent, to try to stop people from knowing what the plot of the series is?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes, yes, definitely.
You shot what?
Yes, definitely.
I believe you.
That's
you really,
why I play
did you really
Charlotte.
Shoot scenes at work? Did you really
yes.
shoot scenes? Wow.
It might be true.
That's a yes and a maybe. That's a true. Okay, now.
We want the fans to enjoy the show. I think that's the important part. You know, like
we don't want them to know. We don't want
everything.
Them to read the cliff notes beforehand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Have there been any guesses out there that are right?
No.
No.
Is it distracting? Because you guys can't do anything without getting attention around the city. And I'm sure you got tons of attention when you were doing the series, but it was just a series that was ongoing. Now it's everybody trying to figure out what's going on. You must get mobbed when you shoot anywhere. Is that a challenging thing to have
we
the
do,
people?
But I also...
Because there were no iPhones back then either.
That's total.
Good point.
And there was very little social media.
Yes.
There really wasn't
right.
social media.
Right, right.
But I have to say, you know, we started shooting in July and the city was just coming out of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was so amazing for us to be back playing these characters and back with each other. But mm-hmm. also it was, I think it was exciting for people and it was obviously very exciting for us to see people out on the street watching us because it really, it felt like New York coming back.
Well, you guys obviously famously in the series and the movies are a quartet. Now there's no Samantha, you're just a trio. What's that transition like from quartet to trio for you guys?
Well, I don't feel like we're, I mean, we are a trio, the three original mm-hmm. women, but I feel like we're now a septet. Because there are actually seven of us, right? Mm-hmm. There's Sarah Jessica and Kristen and I.
Sure.
And there's Sarah Ramirez, and there's Nicole Ari Parker, and mm-hmm. Karen Pittman, and Sarita Chowdhury.
And they're amazing.
They are amazing. And I really am so gratified. You know, we knew the show was going to expand, and there were going to be more people, and it was such an incredibly white show when it was on mm-hmm. the first time. And so given an opportunity to go back and change that was, you know, very welcome.
That was a huge part of why we're here.
Yeah. But also, it was amazing to me that they didn't try and put, you know, 25-year-olds with us. Like, they brought us people who were very much our peers, and yeah. that was amazing.
That
yes.
is incredible. That is lovely. Mm. Now,
uh-oh, what else?
what is he
going to
pull out?
But we know that Samantha's fine. She's not dead in the series, right? She's just gone.
We will neither confirm nor deny.
So it's possible
she's not like a
that
lawyer
she started dating
all.
A Cajun. It's possible she started dating a Cajun and was eaten by an alligator, something like that. Or dating a clown and was eaten by a lion. We do.
Wow, some creative ideas.
Anything is possible. You will have to tune in to find out.
Very soon you will find out.
Right. Well, before we go, I want to talk about your friend, Willie Garson here, who played Sanford, and a beloved member of the Second City family who passed away. He's actually in the new series.
He's in the first three episodes.
This is him on the set. How will you remember him?
I mean, Willie was just a person who just lightened any situation that he was in and just would have you in stitches within, you know, a minute of coming into a conversation. Like, he was a person with incredible stories, like show business stories and stories about his own, you know, zany life and his family that he comes from and the family that he created. And he's just a person who, I don't know, just was always with the
full of joy and so incredibly brilliant and smart. And really, even being sick, which we didn't know about in the beginning, he still brought so much joy.
Always laughing. And we were, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we shot with him for a long time not knowing he was sick. And then things got bad enough that we were informed. And so I think we're also very grateful that we had a few days with him knowing that he was sick and we could talk to him about it and he could talk to us about it. And that, I think, was a really important thing for all of us.
But it's hard.
Yeah.
I know.
I wish he was here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your feelings about your friend, too. Thank you.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.